Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Cy Brown, coming at you live from New York City, bringing you another show of Life Remix Radio. Today is Tuesday, September 9th, and it's raining outside. I don't know, it's kind of sucky weather here in the New York City area today, but you know what, I am just so glad to be alive, so glad to at least enjoy the rain. You know, there's a lot of people, when it starts raining, their bones start hurting and things start to ache, and you know, I'm just happy that I don't have to go through any of those ailments. But you know what, it's funny, you know, my son, my younger son, was hit by a car a couple of years ago. And he was hit pretty badly. This guy was speeding up our block in Jersey. And now, you know, he had a compound fracture. He's had a couple surgeries. And thank God he's okay. But his leg gets a little funny in bad weather. So I'm just happy that I'm restored. I'm okay. He's restored. He's okay. And to all those people that kind of maybe feel kind of down, even just when the sun is not shining, just stay up, stay empowered, stay encouraged, and just keep tuning in, because it's my goal to bring you your daily dose of urban inspiration, pop culture, life, love, forgiveness, parenting, education, relationships, and all that good stuff. Just talking about, you know, love and relationships and health, today we have an amazing guest with us. We have Pastor Montan McDonald, who is from Nashville, and we're going to talk about tithing because, as most of you know, I love the Lord just with every grain, every bit, every ounce, every cell, every molecule. And, you know, I've shared, I started this show just because the Lord whispered it to me in my ear, and I'll never forget that moment. But there's always been the issue of tithing. So is it required? And I put, you know, in the description of today's show, let's talk about it. Are you for it, against it? Is it required for salvation? This is the good, juicy stuff that we talk about every day. But before we jump into our guest and today's show, I do want to read our daily thought from the Hill. And our daily thought for today reads as follows. Yesterday was I circulate my good, and I believe we all have to do that. This is a good one. All right. For today, our daily thought from Hillside Chapel and Truth says, I tame my tongue. Whoa. The words we speak have power. Our words can be a healing balm or they can be weapons. It is important to tame the tongue. Taming the tongue means being careful about the words we speak, refraining from gossip, and speaking in mellow tones. Taming the tongue means not using profanity and not being involved in telling untruths. James 3:6 warns us about the tongue. The tongue is a fire and the sinful world a forest. That very tongue, while it is among our members, can defile our whole body and set on fire the course of our race, which has rolled down from the beginning. And in the end, it's consumed by fire. And that's from the Lanz's Aramaic translation. In Proverbs 17:27-28, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. I tame my tongue. I recognize the words I speak have power. I choose my words wisely. I speak words, gossip. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm trying to read and read ahead and understand it in my life. And implement this in my life as I'm reading to you. I'm sorry. I speak words that are kind, healing, and uplifting. I refrain from gossiping, cursing, or engaging in idle conversation. I use my words in positive ways to exalt the glory of God. I'm going to read this one more time because what happened with this one, because this is a big one of mine. Wow. So you just kind of caught me in the moment because I'm reading it and I'm trying to apply it to my life as I'm reading it to you. So I'm going to read this one more time. Okay. I tame my tongue. The words we speak have power. Our words can be a healing balm or they can be weapons. It is important to tame the tongue. Taming the tongue means being careful about the words we speak, refraining from gossip, and speaking in mellow tones. Taming the tongue means not using profanity and not being involved in telling untruths. James 3:6 warns us about the tongue. The tongue is a fire and the sinful world a forest. That very tongue, while it is among our members, can defile our whole body and set on fire the course of our race, which has rolled down from the beginning. And in the end, it is consumed by fire, from the Lambs' Aramaic translation. In Proverbs 17:27-28, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. I tame my tongue. I recognize the words I speak have power. I choose my words wisely. I speak words that are kind, healing, and uplifting. I refrain from gossiping, cursing, or engaging in idle conversation. I use my words in positive ways to exalt the glory of God. Thank you, God, in me, as me, and so it is. And today's scripture reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a little bit very quickly about what I just read before we jump right into today's guest. That's something I'm working on because I have to – let me just give you something really quickly because, you know, I don't read this before I start the show. Somebody that I know who I'm coaching to be a speaker sent me an email. Well, I sent her an email. She popped into my brain, and I sent her an email like, hey, how are you? How's everything going? You know, just kind of like a follow-up. She sent me back a very lengthy email, and my response in the email was thinking of you smiling. So this morning when I got up, I received an email back from her, and I'm going to read you exactly what I said. I put in the email, you know, thinking of you, smiling, and I sent it from my BlackBerry because I sent it, you know, like on the fly. You know, I just read it and, you know, just responded from my BlackBerry. This is the email that she sent back to me. Hold on 2 seconds, and I'm not trying to go off on a tangent, but this is very relevant to what today's verse is. She put, I'm thinking of you, ... smile, because that's what I put. Then she put, I kind of expected a bit of that a girl, or maybe looking forward to working with you also. Maybe it's just me. Have a blessed day. And I was a little taken aback by that. I was like, yo, like, you know, I just was saying thinking of you, and, you know, I responded. So I think she was a little taken aback that I didn't respond more favorably. So I put, dear so-and-so, as I was reading your email, I was smiling and thinking of you. Joy was in my heart. I guess I didn't translate that well in the email. I'm very proud of you. Keep moving forward. The point is, oh, my God, and it's so relevant to today's daily thought. The point is, my words did not fit what she was expecting. And it's really funny because I'm very careful with my words now that I'm learning and really getting better in my skin because I realize how much power words do have. Because she took the time to send a very lengthy email about what she was up to, and I could have put, oh, well, that's, you know, nice. And it could have made this woman rethink everything that she's working on because don't forget, we have a coaching consultee relationship. So I just put thinking of you, smile, and I just was taken aback to wake up and check my email at 6 this morning that she was slightly offended that I didn't respond more favorably, I guess. And so I just say that all to say I realized through little instances like this how important our words really, really are. Because I could have put in the email, well, maybe you should think about this, or I wouldn't do that if I were you, and it could have destroyed this person. So I guess I'm just giving a real life example of what today's daily thought of I tame my tongue really is. And that little piece right there was not planned. It was not written into today's schedule. But I just think when God sends a word, it's so relevant and it's so on time, and it may not impact the life of some of the listeners, but it definitely impacted mine. So I just hope you guys continue to listen and get a good word from me every single day. Now, with that said, you know, I drink a big glass of ice water every day during the show. I'm getting ready to take a sip of water and allow my guest to introduce himself. We've got Dropping Seed Radio on the line today, and I'll allow him to just give all the good juiciness about what he's doing, and then we're getting ready to get into this topic of tithing. Pastor Montana, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
I'm so happy you're on the show and we're not responding through the chat room right now.
I know it. I'm used to being on the chat line, and now I'm in a little conference room on my job trying to find a little quiet place for this, and it's just wonderful to be here.
You are like taking time out from work. You know what? That's just the Lord. I mean, that's a major right there. I just say thank you to that. So I'm going to take a sip of my water, if you just don't mind sharing with my listeners who you are now, because a lot of them, like, we've got True View in the chat room, and now True View, you're listening to Drop and Seed Radio actually on the line. So tell them a little bit about who you are, what you do, when your show comes on, and then we're going to get right into this juicy topic of tithing.
Okay. Well, before I do that, though, I want to say that I was definitely meant to be on this show, because I don't normally have my cell phone, because usually my wife has it when, because I ride the public transportation to work. I ride the bus, because where I work, we get to ride the bus for free. And my wife drives to work, and she keeps the cell phone. But I accidentally kept it in my pocket this morning and didn't understand why I still had it. And then when I got your email, I said, oh, well, I just worked this out for our good. So I wanted to share that real quick. But I am Pastor Montana McDonald. I'm the pastor of Seed of Abraham Church in Nashville, Tennessee. We've been around for about 8 years. Right now, we're a small ministry, but we're growing every day. And you can listen to me at, of course, Dropping Seed Radio. You can either catch us on droppingseed.net by logging on there, or you can log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/droppingseedradio. We come on every Saturday from 10 to 11, that's 10 Central Time, and that's really about it.
Well, that's a lot. You know, your wife usually has the cell phone. Isn't it cool how God just works everything out for our greatest good? I mean, you know, a lot, and that's why a lot of times I might be going through drama, and I'm like, you know what, it's going to work out no matter what. So I can't be upset,
right.
Can't stress over it, because it's going to all work out. I just want to, before we get into it, I just want somebody to hit me up in the chat room. Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me okay today? Because I'm calling from a different way. Does somebody hit me up in the chat room? Let me know if you can hear me okay. Okay, I think everybody can hear me well. All right,
all right.
Now. For the record, because you know it's for the record, and this is on the chat line, and it can be downloaded through iTunes. For the record, we are going to talk about tithing. And for the record, no matter what comes out of this conversation, we are still going to be friends. Amen?
Of course.
Okay, good. TrueView Radio, is this a little bit better? I think True, you said it was a little muffled. Is this a little bit better? Oh, hey, Tom. Oh, my goodness. Hey, Tom, how are you? Tom, I work with Tom through the Bureau. Tom, thank you for hitting me up. All right. I'm just calling from a different way today, so that's why I just want to make sure everybody hears me. Pastor, Montana McDonald.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
The question today is tithing. Are you for it, against it? Is it required for salvation? Help me out on this one.
Okay. Let me first of all explain my position on this. And a little bit of my background. I am a, I guess you'd say, a third-generation preacher. My grandfather, Pastor Morgan Babb, had been pastoring here in the Nashville area for years, for over 35 years. And I grew up kind of hearing a little bit about tithing, but it wasn't necessarily taught at the at my home church that I grew up in. And then when I really got saved, because, you know, in my teenage years, I was just, you know, wilding out and having a good time. But when I got a little older and I got in church and I really got into a relationship with God, that's when I really started hearing about tithing. And for a long time, I tithed. I gave 10% gross, you know, of my gross income, and I was faithful with it. And to be honest, it wasn't until around November of last year that the Lord started to open my eyes concerning tithing. And when I did my research and I studied, because I seek the truth as much as I can, regardless of where it leads me when it comes to the Word of God. And whether or not I agree with the truth that I find, it doesn't matter. I still accept it as truth as long as the Lord shows it to me. But anyway, I got to studying about that, and I found out that, first of all, tithe is not a requirement of the New Testament church. That and it is not something that you have to do to be saved. I don't even know where that one came from, but it is not a requirement for the New Testament church.
Well, here it is. I think you know me well enough. I kind of say stuff because I always want to get to the truth, and I always believe the truth lies somewhere in the middle between left and right. So that's why.
Okay.
I said, are you for it, against it? Is it required for salvation? Just because I want to explore all sides so we can arrive at the truth. Here's where I got frustrated with tithing. My husband and I faithfully tithed until last August, and I hope just people listening don't get mad at me or whatever. But here's what happened. I was a youth director. Y'all know I was a youth director for young people and the whole shebang. But we were sitting in service, and our pastor says all the time at offering time, will the tithers please stand? And, you know, we always stood up, and you kind of hold your tithe in the air and thank the Lord that you have an opportunity to give. But then he went on to say, for those of you who are not tithing, we encourage you to bring yourself up to obedience of God's word. He still, and this is paraphrased, he still, you know, is going to bless you, but you, if you want to, and this is paraphrased, like your maximum blessings to be in obedience, we encourage you to tithe. And I felt mortified. I really felt mortified. And that day, because I have been struggling with the whole tithing issue anyway, but we gave because we were leadership in church. My husband was the Sunday school director the youth person for the boys for like 3 years. So we were ingratiated in church and church culture. But I felt mortified for the people that what if they just don't have it? So I went to my cousins who are of the apostolic faith, and they said, you are to give anyway. And I said, well, what if you can't pay your bills? What if it's just not there? The Lord will provide. What do you say to that?
Well, my view on that is, and I understand where you're coming from. I understand where the people of the apostolic faith was coming from, because that's what I used to teach. That's what I used to tell people, you know, for years. You know, I used to teach tithing. And I used to teach that God will bless. But the problem with that is that, for one thing, when you're telling somebody God will provide, you're kind of giving a double standard. And what I mean by that is you say give it even though you have to take care of something else. But the reason why you're pushing people to give it, and most pastors are pushing people to give it, is because they have needs in the church that need to be met, and the tithe is what they use to meet those needs. Well, the thing is, we could turn it on its head and say, well, just as you're telling us that God will provide for us if we give it, God will provide for you even if we don't. So, I mean, I kind of look at it that way. The problem with tithe is, and I'll just put it like this, we live in a church culture that we created, because it's not just the pastor's fault. It's also those who are in the pews. It's everyone's fault. We have created a church culture since the beginning of Roman Catholicism. We have created a church culture where the more we grow, the more we have to get, the more we have to buy. And then we put ourselves in debt, or we put our churches in debt, and we kind of overextend ourselves to the point where we have to come up with a good reason to tell people to tithe. We've kind of put ourselves in the situation where we have so much going out and not enough coming in that we have to do something about it. Let me tell you this. The Catholic Encyclopedia of 1912 said this about tithing. In the beginning, provision was supplied by the spontaneous support of the faithful. In the course of time, however, as the church expanded and various institutions arose, it became necessary to make laws which would ensure the proper and permanent support of the clergy. The payment of tithes was adopted from the old law, and early writers speak of it as a divine ordinance and an obligation of the conscience. The earliest positive legislation on the subject seems to be contained in the letter of the bishops assembled at Tours in 567 and the canons of the Council of Macon in 585. So even the original church, when I say the original church, I'm talking about the actual apostles who started the church. They never taught to tithe. Jesus never taught to tithe. People will say, well, he did speak about tithing when he talked to the Pharisees about how they tithe mint and cumin and all that kind of stuff. But one thing you have to realize, even in the Old Testament, whenever tithe is mentioned, it's never in association with money. It's always in association with food. And the reason why is because the tithe had a specific purpose for the people of Israel. And it is the people of Israel that were required, and even to this day are still required to pay tithe, but especially the New Testament church. And the reason being is because the tithe, which was food, was used to help feed the widows, the orphans, and the stranger. Okay? It was also used to help take care of the priests who took care of the temple. And the priests were Levites, and these Levites were out of the 12 tribes of Israel. They were the only tribe who was not part of the inheritance that was spoken of. Okay? So they could not, let's say, they couldn't go out and get normal jobs. They couldn't go out and do things that everybody else did. They were not part of the inheritance of the land. So it was up to the other 11 tribes to take care of the priests. So it was set up, first of all, to take care of the priests, and also as a charity to take care of those who were without within their own country.
Okay. You just knocked me off my feet. I want you to go back, Pastor,
okay,
when you get a chance, and look at, I can't even read all the stuff that's going on in the chat room because it's too much to read to you right now, and I know you're in your conference room, but when you go
that's
back,
okay,
if you go to Life Remix Radio, you'll be able to read the chat. Here's where this is the very point in my life that I realized tithing may not be the way to go. 2 years ago, one of my girls in my youth group, I told you I was a youth director, I had a huge group, she was graduating. Her mother is, like, off, you know, like mental illness, and her father is not in the picture. And she was graduating high school and did not have all the money she needed. She's a little slow, too. Like, she's not all there. They have her on, like, some antidepressants or whatever it is. She's just not all the way there. So I remember telling my husband, I'm taking my money and I'm giving it to so-and-so to help her with her graduation, and I'm taking it from our tithes. And we got into an argument, and I don't, y'all hear me with my husband, like we don't argue like that, and this was a couple of years ago, but it was a very spirited debate where he thought I should tithe and take the gift of money that I was giving to her for graduation, I mean, take my gift for her dress and her shoes out of our household money. And I said, I'm not doing that. If I'm understanding this whole religion thing the right way, if as long as I'm giving it, if I'm reading it and it says give unto the Lord, it does not say give to church. She's in my youth group.
Right.
I am in a position of leadership. God has given me sense and sensibility where to direct this money. I'm giving it to her. And we got into a very tense something or other. I don't want to call it an argument or a fight because it was not. But it caused tension all up and through my house because he's looking at it as he now has a disobedient wife. But I'm looking at it from a practical perspective. This chick needs our help. Her mom is not doing right. Yeah. She's not all there. And I'm saying this very loosely. But why not? Why not? She's graduating high school. That should be the best time of your life. You shouldn't be stressing about a dress and a shoes. And here's the kicker. I'm the youth director. If she can't come to me, who can she come to? So
I gave it to her,
and I took it out of my tithes, and I truly gave her the money, and it caused problems up in my house.
Wow.
That's how I knew. I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, it's fine. That's fine. I was just going to say, me and my wife, we had problems like that in the past also. And I was basically taking the same stance as your husband, because as an associate minister at the time, you know, of another church, I felt like it was my obligation, and I was told it was my obligation to even have leadership standing to continue to pay my tithes.
Yeah.
So I've been through that. But do you know, now a lot of people may not realize this, but do you know that a lot of people in the Jewish faith, they still tithe, but a lot of them, their tithe goes towards their children's college fund and goes towards charities. So even they understand the original intent of the Old Testament, that the tithe was not for the funding of a church, but it was, like you said, to give unto the Lord. And the scripture also tells us that what you do for the least of mine, that you do also for me. So he's not talking about a institution. He's talking about hearts. He's talking about minds and people. He's talking about those who are actually in need of help. God has always, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that's one thing that has not changed. His mind has always been directed toward the disenfranchised, those who were poor, those who could not help themselves, the widows, the orphans, those who suffered loss. His heart has always been toward that. That's the reason why he even instituted the year of Jubilee, where every 8 years you were supposed to clear everyone of their debts. That was a law in the Old Testament.
Right.
So we have to understand, first of all, when it comes to the issue of tithe, and I know a lot of people, even in the chat room, may disagree with me. I'm used to it by now because there's people who are even within my circle that does not agree with what I'm saying. But we have to understand what the purpose of tithe was. If you go to, you know what, let me back up just a minute, because a lot of people use for...
Can I interrupt you one second? We have a caller. Can I take the caller? They've been waiting patiently.
Okay.
Caller from 212-858, are you there?
Yes, it's Ms. B, beloved. I am listening and enjoying what I'm hearing.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't forgetting anybody. Okay, thank you. Bye. That was Ms. B on the scene, Pastor. I just wanted to make sure we weren't ignoring the caller. I'm sorry. Please continue.
No problem. Okay, but let's go back to the beginning, because whenever I get into discussions with people who are for the institution of tithe, they always go back to Abraham. They always go back to when Abraham gave a tenth to the high priest Melchizedek. Here's the issue. They say that because Abraham paid a tithe before the law of Moses, that him paying the tithes preceded the law of Moses, and therefore it does not mean that since Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, it does not negate the paying of tithes. Now, just for our listeners' sake, let's go ahead and give the scripture text. If you were to look in Genesis, the 14th chapter, and I believe it starts around the 20th verse, we realize that Abraham did pay a tithe. But let's kind of look at it and see exactly how everything went down, because I think it's very important that when you study the scripture, you got to look at it in its context, because you can easily get you can easily get some kind of law or get some type of idea of what scripture says based on a blurb. But if you read the whole context, you really understand the meat of the message. But in Genesis 14 and starting in verse 20, all right. It says, and blessed be, and I'm sorry, just for those who are listening, I'm reading from a New Revised Standard, so my version may read a little bit different from yours.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. Now, this is the king Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem. Okay? And then it says, and Abraham gave one-tenth of everything. But mm-hmm. let's read further. It says, then the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself. Now, the reason why the king of Sodom told Abram to...
Cassie there? Pastor, are you there? Uh-oh. I hope we didn't lose him. I don't know what happened with that one. Okay. Well, let me try to get him right back on the line. Well, while we're waiting to try to get him back on the line, I just want to say just a little quick note to JJKKFS. Can you please refrain from putting outlandish things in our chat room, please? Perhaps this is just not this show for you. And if it's not, you know, it's all good, but just don't, you know, you don't need to be offensive. If you don't believe in tithing or if tithing is not for you or if you don't believe in the Bible, that's fine. Nobody's here to argue with that. Nobody's here to beef with you as far as that goes. But I think one thing that, you know, because I'm very open, I think we have to be mindful of how other people feel because that's how we get down up and through on this show. So you just need to be mindful about that. Hello? Hello, is this JJKKFS? Oh, now you don't have anything to say. You had a lot to say in the chat room, but now I put you live on the air, and now you have nothing to say. That takes a real big
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Sorry about the comments in the chat room.
But I'm just bugging. Why would you even, you know what, here's all I'm going to tell you. Just please don't disrespect my show like that, and that's how we're just going to leave it. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Pastor, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Pastor. Sorry about that. I think we may have lost you for a minute. Are you there?
Yes. Actually, that was my fault.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I gotta charge up these kids' cell phones, you know.
It's all good. Okay, long as you're back with us. You were reading, you left us off at the book of Genesis, chapter 14, verse 20. Luckily, I have my Bible with me. And you were,
Amen.
And you read, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies unto your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Can you pick us up from there, please?
Okay, thank you. And what I was saying was, is that the tenth that he gave never belonged to Abraham in the first place. It belonged to the king of Sodom. You have to understand, when Abraham went to go fight this battle, and when he brought back the spoils, he wasn't fighting the battle for the spoils. His nephew, Lot, had been kidnapped. So the whole purpose of him going was to rescue his nephew. He had no intention of even keeping the spoils of the war. And as a matter of fact, if you do your research, you'll find out that at that time, It was normal practice, whether you were a believer in God or whether you were a idol worshiper, it was normal practice that if you won a war and you had spoils of war, that you would tithe 10% to whoever god you served, whether it be a god that was made of wood or the god of heaven. So it was a practice that everyone did. So Abraham, for one thing, did not invent tithing. He just was following the practices of the day. But those things that he tithes, it never belonged to him in the first place. And if you look at Genesis, there's no other instance in the scriptures where he ever tithed again. And not only that, but the scripture, as we read it, does not say at one point at all that God commanded him to tithe. He did it as a free will offering. Which brings me to my point that you asked me at the very beginning whether or not I believe you should tithe. Do I believe in tithing? Do I don't?
Mm-hmm.
Here's my view of it, and this is what I even tell folks at at my church. It's up to you what you give.
Mm-hmm.
It is between you and God. Because if you give because I'm telling you to give, for one thing, it's not a free will offering. You're giving under compulsion.
He doesn't want it anyway. Right.
You're giving under compulsion. You're giving because I'm giving you a warning telling you that if you don't give, that you'll be cursed with a curse.
Right.
Just like it's spoken of. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like yesterday when I was reading, and I think I'm guessing this is where today's conversation stemmed from, because when I read yesterday's scripture, which was 2 Corinthians 9:7,
mm-hmm.
It said, so let every man give according to what he has decided in his mind, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Oh, my God, amen. This is some good stuff because I believe you. I give of every single thing I have. For people that know that I'm a speaker, I give so much information so that my speakers can be good speakers. I give of myself. My husband gets not angry. I got to find some better words, but like when I'm driving this person because they don't have gas and I'm doing this person cause, and I don't complain because I think of it as I'm happy to drive somebody somewhere because I have gas in my car. But when it comes to this issue, I take umbrage when pastors or leaders get into this, well, you know, the Lord is going to honor your obedience and you show your obedience through tithing. I cannot accept or believe. I cannot believe I'm going to hell because I didn't give you 10% of my check. And I know, here's another thing that frustrated me. When I was a youth director at a different church, they needed money to send to our district. And they wanted my young people, because I had the largest youth ministry of all the churches in our district, to raise money. Well, I could tell my kids to do anything. We could do anything, and it was getting done. And I said, well, all right, what I'm going to do, Pastor, is submit the budget so we can go to, like, Great Adventure or, like, I don't know, in other areas they may call it Six Flags, like an amusement park or something. She said, well, we have this to fix that. And I'm like, hold up. I'm not having my kids out there washing cars, selling cookies, and doing all of these other things to send the money to the district and fix the stuff in the church. And I said it very respectfully. And do you know, after that point is when I resigned as the youth director of that entity, because I felt like I'm not going to take part in the exploitation of my young people for this. And I could be wrong, but to this day I still stand by that decision. I'm not asking you to say, am I wrong, but what position should faithful church members take when it comes to tithing? Should we just keep giving and giving? There's an ongoing joke, you know, in churches, this is for the building fund. Well, then what do our tithes go for?
Right. Well, let me kind of, I guess, break that down, because when it comes to the tithes in most churches are used for the upkeep of the building, used for light bills, water bills, mortgage, if there be any. That's usually what the tithe is used for. There are some churches, they do, and this is all true. This, you know, I've seen it happen. They not only do they take up a tithe, but they also take up a love offering, which goes directly to the pastor, and that's to pay, you know, the pastor for his time and all of that. Well, my position on that is, if you feel, and if your church or if everyone within your church agrees that you're paying tithes, I don't have a problem with that. Here's where I have a problem. I have a problem with if you're telling people that God mandates for you to pay tithes and that you'll be cursed if you do not, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ erased all the curses, so we shouldn't be teaching people that they could be cursed anyway if they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So I think there's a little bit of manipulation going on, just
right,
to make people tithe continually. I'm not against tithing per se if you want to be truthful about it and say we instituted a tithe in this church because we know we got bills. I mean,
right,
just be honest about it. That's my point. My point is just be honest about what is behind the tithe. It is nothing more than a glorified fundraiser.
And see, That's where I'm at with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
now,
exactly where I'm at with that.
Now, and I want to make it known, though, the church does have bills. The church does need help, does need the support of its membership to function. Okay, I'm a firm believer in that because it takes money to run a business. It also takes money to run a church. And the problem that sometimes goes on is, like you can be on the flip side of it. You could be a church that maybe don't tithe, and your church members want this, and they want a bigger building, they want the roof fixed, but every Sunday morning they give maybe $2, they give maybe a quarter, and no one really gives. And so, and then they get mad at the pastor because they don't have a new parking lot. Well, it needs to be paid for, and the pastor can't take care of it all on his own. It's a collection of people. The fellowship is supposed to run together or work together to make sure that the needs of the church are met. That I am a firm believer in, because if not, why even have a church? You might as well just have a little fellowship in your living room and just leave it like that. But I just take issue when you get to the point where you tell people that you have to tithe or else you'll be cursed with a curse, or you use manipulation and fear to basically make people do what they should be doing in the first place, and that is helping to support the church that they go to faithfully every Sunday.
Well, I think we should definitely support the church, because a lot of times, because of this whole separation of church and state, church may not get funding like other nonprofits, like maybe a Salvation Army that is a religious institution, but it does receive federal funding. But let me give you a couple examples of tithing and how I think it fits into the big scheme of church.
Okay.
A lot of churches, such as a church I belong to, because where I went is not relevant to this conversation, but it is part of a denomination. Now, as part of a denomination, I believe the stronger churches within the area support the struggling churches in the area, because we all pay dues to this denomination.
Right.
So if, in fact, that's the case, why are struggling smaller churches responsible for paying if the roof is leaking or this is leaking or whatever, if we're part of a collective,
mm-hmm.
and there's a district elder or a district bishop or a district somebody in place that should oversee the equitable distribution of funds? That's one issue. Now, if you have a separate, independent, I'm Saida, I want to start a church, then yes, my budget must be met, and I will encourage giving. But to mandate it from the pulpit from such an influential person, I have a problem with that.
Amen.
And when we stood up and waved our tithes, and then the pastor's going to say, well, the people that are not standing, we pray that you fall in line and be obedient to God's word, and you tithe. I'm like, wait a minute, dude, you can't say that to these people. But then it could just be me being the maverick or me being the, you know, quirky person that I am.
Well, and see, I have encountered worse than that. So you actually got off a little easy, or whoever that pastor was, he let them off a little bit easy compared to what I've heard. I've actually heard fussing from the pulpit, and I mean actual anger, yelling, running down the list of things that the church needs, and you know, basically trying to put a guilt trip onto the people so that they will pay their tithes. I've heard people do it in the midst of their sermon.
What?
They preach a sermon on tithing, and usually it happens around summertime, because that's usually when offerings, you know, traditionally go down, because everybody's going on vacation, things of that nature.
Right.
And so they I've actually seen people preach that from the pulpit, and there was so much venom spitting from it. It almost makes you wonder, you know, what's the true purpose behind what you're asking? And I also want to make this known, not every pastor that's doing it, because there's a misconception, not every pastor that is teaching it is a money hungry person that's just trying to get money for his brand new caddy. A lot, you know, I mean,
right.
There are some who do it, who literally do it out of ignorance because they were taught by their pastor or when they were coming
right.
up, you know, being a minister, it was ingrained into them. That's why I love that we're talking about this on, of all names of shows, Life Remixed Radio, because
yeah.
we have to remix our thinking when it comes to traditional views, because you have to be able to separate between whether it's just a traditional view or is it actually a scriptural view. Okay.
Well, we have another caller. Caller from 336. Give me 1 second, and I'll be right with you. I'm not an uber fan of Joel Osteen, but I heard him tell a joke. You know, he gives, like, these really, like, corny jokes sometimes.
Yeah.
But this one was kind of good. There was this lady who was making a ham, and some of you may have heard it. And before she put the ham in the pan, she would always cut the ends off. And so finally the husband said to her one day, well, why do you cut the ends? Maybe it's a ham or turkey, I don't know. And she says, I don't know. I always saw my mother cut the ends off before she baked it. So the husband goes to the mother-in-law and says, well, my wife has always for years cut the ends off the ham, you know, before she bakes it. Is there any particular reason why? She says, she saw you do it all the years growing up. And she said, well, yeah, because the pan I had was too small, so I always had to cut the ends off to make it fit. Like, and that's exactly how I look at this situation. There was no significance to it. It was just something that was started, and the wife took it up as law because she saw her mother do it. And
right.
and that's the same path in which we're walking. This pastor said it. This is where I got saved. This is where I cried at the altar, and this is how it's going to be, and this is the rule I'm going to follow. When really, it really doesn't have that much of a bearing. I could be wrong, and I always stand to be corrected, but I think the biggest mandate by God is to love, is it not?
Yes, love thy neighbor as thyself, to love your God, your Lord God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. That is the New Testament law. That is the New Covenant law. That is the commandment that Christ gave us to follow, and that is what we should follow. As far as trying to follow anything else, either to stop us from being cursed or anything like that, that basically says that that the blood of Jesus was not good enough or was not enough to cancel our curses, and it was not enough to save us. That is false doctrine. Christ died for our sins so that we may be saved and so that the curse that we had can be lifted. But when you tell people you're cursed with a curse because you're not tithing, then that is unscriptural. But then again, people will say, well, what about the book of Malachi, the third chapter? And I grew up hearing this over and over again every Sunday morning. I didn't even know it was a scripture until I was a teenager, where Malachi, the third chapter in the 8th verse says, will a man rob God? Yet you
yeah,
are robbing
I've heard
me.
That too. Yeah, I've heard that
mm-hmm.
one too.
Yeah, it says, yet you are robbing me, but you say, how are we robbing you? And he says, in your tithes and your offering, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And see, there's food. And King James says meat, which is the same thing. And thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you down a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. Now, we've heard that growing up. I've heard it growing
mm-hmm.
up over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But the very rule of studying Scripture is asking the question, who, what, where, when, and why?
Mm-hmm.
Who are they talking to? What are the
What was the context, right? What was the
yes.
context in which they were saying it?
Right.
Right? Doesn't that have a lot to do with it as well?
It has everything to do with
See, that's
it.
That's what I'm thinking.
You have to understand, first of all, we're still talking about a national law to tithe. It was a national law in Israel to tithe to God, and it was for a purpose. There was a reason for it. It wasn't just for the sake of doing it. There was a purpose for it. The purpose no longer fits us now, but it did fit at that time. The reason why he was saying this, first of all, he was talking to not only people, he was talking to the priests. If you look at the book of the whole book in its context, you realize that God is really calling his priests to the carpet. Because there are things that they were not doing, they were not, because it was also their job to tithe too. The priest tithed to the high priest, And so when things like that wasn't getting done, when the people were not tithing, some of the priests were starving. Some of them had to go out and get jobs when they weren't supposed to, according to the law, because, well, not jobs, but, you know, they had to go out and they had to work outside of the temple just to be able to provide for their families. So God was saying, you're robbing me. It's not that you're robbing the priest, because, as I said earlier, that what you do for the least of my people, that you do unto me. So when you were when they were robbing the priest, they were robbing God at the same time. Now, here's another thing, and Si, I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but the tithe was always supposed to be given to the Levitical priest. Now, when was the last time you went into a church and you saw a Levitical priest?
Don't make me laugh. I saw a lady in a nice big hat and some bishops and some deacons on their post.
Right. But if you check their bloodline, nowhere in their bloodline are they related to Levites. I can almost 100% guarantee you they are not related to Levites. Levites were and priests were passed down from bloodline. You could not be of the tribe of Judah and be a priest. You could not be of the tribe of right now some of the other tribes are kind of escaping me now, but the point is you cannot be of other tribes and be a priest. It was the office that was reserved for the Levites only. And so for us to say that today, where are the Levitical priests in the church that we're supposed to tithe to? And then some people will say, well, the pastor or the bishop, he represents the Levitical priest now. Well, here's the problem. Scripture doesn't tell us that.
Pastor,
somebody,
we have a call.
Go ahead.
Pastor, we have a call. Hold on 1 second. Caller from 336. Are you with us?
Yes,
are you
hello?
Listening? Hi, are you listening or would you like to make a comment?
I would like to make a comment.
Thank you so much for your patience. How can I help you?
I was the person in the chat room.
Oh, Lord. Yes, dear.
What was wrong with that? Like,
what was wrong with that? I'm going to tell you what was wrong with that. First of all, this is my show, and I can have who in my show that I would like. That's number one. Number two, you masked your name, so I didn't know who you were. If you're going to be bold and daring, remove the mask so that we know who you are. Number three, your comments did not fall in line with the things that we are discussing. Do I need to continue? And I said to you, and I'll say to anybody, anybody is welcome to listen to my show, but dare you call into my show and send bad energy and be disrespectful to my show. Do it someplace else. You're welcome here. Your spirit, your soul, as long as it's good and clean, because I have so much energy and good energy coming from me and from my show, bad is not going to come. But take those malicious thoughts and malicious words elsewhere. I'm sure there's somebody else on BTR that has pornographic or whatever shows, but I don't. So just do not send it over my way. Thank you.
Will you have a pornographic?
Yeah, you might want to
Pastor,
cut that
out. I did already, but see, I didn't know. Do you see what I'm saying? I just saw a caller.
I understand. But you know what's funny, Si? I kind of got a vision of you with your head kind of rolling,
what?
You know, and your hand on your hip.
What? I was getting ready to light into him.
I don't know.
That's why I said, you know, okay, first of all, we're down to like the last couple minutes of the show, and I think there were so many distractions, and that's why I said to everybody, Pastor, you see, you always see the show and you see the chat room. Mm-hmm. The chat room was on fire today, and a lot
really?
Of it had to do with, oh, my goodness, that's why I said to you earlier, please go back and read, like, all the dialogue. But we had, like, a little heckler in that was saying very inappropriate things. So thank God Ms. V and True View knew how to block the person so I can continue to focus on our conversation. So to Ms. V and True View, thank you for blocking that individual. So that way I can continue on with our conversation and stay in the moment and stay on your words, because I think this is so very important. What I would like to do, because the chat room was so active, I mean, I had somebody on here who I've never seen before asking very, I can't even say the name, so I hope I'm not trashing your name. It's Yeshuya, I'm sorry. And it says every tribe had an inheritance except the Levites, and was adding very, very good and critical commentary and asked about Christ fulfilling the law. So clearly this is a very, very, very popular and hot topic, and I would actually like to continue it tomorrow. I know you may not be able to call in tomorrow because you are at work during the day, but if you
I can please...
You could?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, please.
I will put it to you like this. My supervisor is a really good friend of mine, and she understands that, you know, what I try to do as far as getting the truth out. So, and I've got the time to just take a extended lunch, so that's fine.
Oh, my. Okay, so the name is Yahushua. I hope I just said it correctly.
I think that may either be Yahshua. Probably. What's the spelling?
Y E S H U Y A H U.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that particular spelling. It almost sounds like Yeshua, which is the Hebrew word for Jesus.
Well, you know what? That's exactly what Ms. V said. Yes, Yahweh God.
Yeah.
So this is good. Well, here's the thing. I'm getting a little thingy in my ear, like, Sai, you got to get ready to end the show. To everybody who's listening, and you know, I just want to say something so quickly. I was rolling my neck for the record, everybody. My color and my hoodness did come out. Because if that individual was in front of me, I probably would have started swinging. But, you know, I didn't. But I do want to pick up on this conversation tomorrow. And what I'll do is I'll have my husband help me monitor the I'll probably do the show from home tomorrow. I have him monitor the chat room, so that way I don't even – I'll just have me, you, my Bible, and whoever's listening, so I don't even have to get distracted with that. So I just want to tell everybody, thank you for listening. We are going to do part two tomorrow. Thank you, Pastor. So just call in the same way tomorrow. And just remember that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is, and wherever you are, God is. And I'll see you all tomorrow. Bye.